It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Once I had the opportunity of reading a newspaper dated November 3, 1911. As I was scanning that newspaper, an article caught my eye. It was about the ropes used in the British Navy. Since the days of Admiral Nelson, each rope used in the British Naval Service, no matter how large or small, has had woven into it a single red thread. That red thread is a mark of authenticity and ownership. In concluding this series on reclaiming worship, let me use this as a metaphor for true worship. Three strands of worship have been introduced in this series. We could have included more, but here's a summary of three word clusters in the Bible translated as worship. First, bowing down. That's the proskuneo word group, to express an attitude or gesture, one's complete dependence on or submission to the one true God revealed as Jesus Christ. Second is fearing, the sabaomai word group, in wholesome reference of the one you love. Third is serving, the latruo word group, as the dangerous act of waking up to God and to the purposes of God in the world, and then living lives that actually show it. Bowing down, fearing, serving. In the Bible, worship includes these three aspects and more. They are like strands woven together into one rope. What would worship be like if you allowed these three strands to be woven together as one in your life? Would worship not be stronger and richer? Would it not include every area of your life? So what is the red thread? All of these strands are true worship when they are directed toward the God who reveals himself as Jesus Christ. Jesus is the scarlet thread of worship. So bowing down to an Asherah pole or a golden calf, reverencing the Mayan corn god, devoting your life to accumulating wealth or status, serving a cause in which Jesus has no part, all of these are but idols, counterfeits of true worship. The absence of Jesus Christ woven throughout worship is like a rope that lacks the red thread. No matter how sincere that activity may be, it lacks biblical authenticity and divine ownership. What part does Jesus Christ have in your worship? Now, let us combine these two concepts of worship, these strands woven together as one to incorporate all of your life, and the scarlet thread of the living Christ flowing through it all. Such worship will be in the presence of God and for the presence of God in our world. What might this worship look like? Here are four glimpses of an infinite array of possibilities. Number one, it will change how we think. If you and I embrace this expansive, God-exalting vision of worship, would it not radically change the way we think? For instance, how does the action of bowing down become part of our worship language? And how does that affect our minds and our souls? If you're speaking face-to-face with someone, you're in a position of relative equality. What happens when you physically kneel before the other? What impact does that posture have upon you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Now transfer that impact to the way you think of worship. Can you maintain that spiritual posture of bowing down to God throughout the day? What differences would it make in the way you think? Second, it will change how we speak. The way we speak about worship will probably change. We can sing to the Lord together on Sunday, and that can be an act of worship. But to call a musician the worship leader, or equate the word worship with music only, reduces worship. In situations where that language is still used, perhaps a gentle and appropriate conversation about worship will get people thinking and developing an awareness of how all-encompassing worship is intended to be. Number three, it will change how we relate to others. In what way does this enlarged view of worship influence how we relate to God and to other people? For one, if worship becomes a 24/7 activity, it can no longer be abbreviated to a 1 or 2 hour event on Sundays. As a result, your relationship with God will grow. For another, it will change the way you treat people. You are made in the image of God, and as you worship the God of the image, in all of your life, you will treat others as the image of God in all of life. Point 4. It will change how we serve. Worship includes discerning our spiritual gifts and allowing the Spirit to empower us in service of God. This becomes service to others and as an extension of the activity of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. In 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11, we hear these words, "Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So, as you wash the dishes, treat that as an act of worship. Consciously acknowledge that you are acting as the hands of Jesus Christ to serve those with whom you ate. As you serve customers and provide for their needs, intentionally treat that as an act of worship. As you teach children in public school or Sunday school, let that be an act of worship. On Sunday, as you proclaim God's message or as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offer them as sacrifices of worship. As you shovel the snow on the sidewalk up to the property line with your aged neighbor, purposely continue to shovel her sidewalk as an act of worship. I offer these few simple examples as an encouragement to you to live all of life as an act of worship. What can you add to that? Let me conclude with Mark Labberton's definition of worship again. Worship is the dangerous act of waking up to God and to the purposes of God in the world, and then living lives that actually show it.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.